Welcome back to another episode of the DAP Fitness Business Podcast. Myself, Tom Blackman, and Dan Smith in attendance. Hello, Dan.
In attendance.
Yes. Logged on, engaged. Today is a little bit of a lighthearted, well, I suppose lighthearted, but also informative podcast, because we're going to be talking about, for want of a better phrase, stupid things that online coaches say and do. Now, this, although we're not calling anyone stupid, it's things that both Dan and I have seen and done ourselves in the past, and we now don't do, that potentially people make mistakes of doing and thinking it's the right thing to do. Because no one does things to try and be stupid, but they don't realize potentially that it's the wrong thing to do until a few years later when they're looking back on their previous stuff. So we've put together a list of collective things that if you're doing, you might want to stop. And also why they're not the best things to be doing. And Dan, I know you've got a long list of this of these things written out.
Yeah, no, I've got a few that over the years, things like you say that I've done, and things that I just see on a weekly basis. And I know there's a few of the things there that you'll be aware of as well. And I did mention this the other day on my stories for a post that I was going to do. So there's a few of those things on there. I guess probably the biggest thing that I see is, how to put this, it's not actually like, I suppose it is something that coaches do. However, there's a few different similarities, and this happens, where a coach will say one thing to their clients, like, there are no quick fixes, there are no shortcuts. You know, you don't need to be doing these six-week programs. That's not going to solve your 20 years of chronic dieting.
Yeah.
And then as soon as someone goes, would you like to earn 10K in 6 weeks? They go, 10K per month in 6 weeks, or would you like the guaranteed six figures in 90 days? Like something in your mind must go, that's a huge, in my head that goes, wah, like there's a warning sign that goes off. Yeah. There's a big, some dude with a big red flag comes up and he's waving it. It's like that for me. But then, and you'll say that to your clients because you know that's complete and utter rubbish. But yet when someone says that about your business, you're like, oh my, yeah, guaranteed income. I will do that right now. Like, it blows my mind, because if someone can guarantee you income, then that person needs to ring up the freaking chancellor or something and get him on board, because then it could sort out this cost of living crisis that we're going through, because this guy can guarantee you six figures in 90 days.
Right. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed, mate. Right. I've seen the ads. I've screenshotted the ads. Says it, guaranteed. So either that is true, or he wants to be careful about what he's putting out there. So
yeah, and also these coaches will say about unrealistic, you're saying that this sort of same sort of things, unrealistic expectations, isn't it? And it's, oh, don't think you're gonna lose 20 pounds in 2 days. However, you can make 10K in 7 days.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure there are ways of doing that, by all means, like drug dealing, whatever you want to do. I am sure there are ways of doing it. But have a little bit of that critical thinking that you apply, that you know you apply when you work with a client. Mm. When someone says the same thing, like just pay attention to it. Like, it's And there's a lot of, there's a lot of like really, really bad practices going on in that fitness business space. And there's a lot of, like Ponzi schemes, there's a lot of that happens within the mentoring space. So it's like the guys at the top who are making all the money, and it's like a pyramid scheme, isn't it? And then the rest of them are kind of working for them, getting new people in. But it's only the people at the top who actually reap the rewards. So that actually happens in the fitness space, in the mentoring space.
It's really? Yeah.
It's quite a bad thing, actually. Someone wrote an article on it the other day. I was reading it. But
that's actually let's delve into that a little bit more, because I have heard of it, but not really seen it in action or seen it all. Like I said, I've heard of it happening, but not like heard, real stories of real people it's happened to. I've just, when people say, oh, this happens. But have you actually seen some evidence of that then?
Yeah, I can't remember where I saw it. There's, the name's down my head. I'll be able to find it. But you know, when they get people to invest in these schemes, and then it's like the funds of those people are then what then that's what pays for there, and that goes to them, and they don't actually get anything from it. But then they have to then recruit more people in to then pay for their part in the business, and it doesn't stop, because the only guy at the top is the guy who makes all the money, and they're so far away from the people coming in the bottom that they never get caught. But so that's happening in some of the like the business mentoring space for fitness, and yeah, I'll find the names because it did pop up the other day.
Would you say that's more of happening in America, or is it something in the UK as well?
This was definitely American, but you know, you just don't know, do you?
I can imagine it being like quite prevalent in America, because there's a lot bigger market, I suppose, and a lot bigger market there.
Yeah. I just think you just don't know what's happening. It's so easy. Again, this is something else you could say that coaches potentially might look at or might have done in the past. And I'm hand on heart say we've never done this before, but is in terms of then falsifying like your results and what you get, because that hands down happens in the coaching space. People falsify testimonials, pictures, whatever, you know, that Photoshop happens. But then if someone's doing that, then think about what happens in that mentoring space. People will just screenshot it. Yeah, you can send the message. I can send the message to myself now. Oh, well done, mate. Fucking 10K,
yeah.
10K in 10 minutes. I'll put that on my screens. I see it happen. I see people I see people who I follow post these things, and I'm like, that's something about that's not right. And I can tell, because you can tell when someone's written you something compared to when someone's written it. Like if you've written it yourself.
Do you know what? I've seen that as well. And I do wonder sometimes, are they writing that to themselves? Because the text that the people are highlighting out are like, God, that's blown my mind, with a little blown the mind emoji. And I thought, I don't know. I've been coaching for 10 years and I've never had anyone say it's blown my mind with a blown my mind emoji in capitals. And, you know, maybe my stuff's shit. I don't know. But get enough results. So, people don't talk like that, do they?
No, I just don't see it. Also, I find it really weird that someone would go, I'm on for like a 40K month this month. And they'll then communicate that in that way. I don't know any other space. I don't know any other industry where that is. This fascination with income. Please don't say that as like, I don't think it's important, because it's part of running a business. Income is important. But we're the only space where people preface their fucking job titles. This really annoys me, man. It really annoys me. They preface what they do with their income. I'm a seven-figure guru, seven-figure fitness coach. Like, seriously, get in the sea. That is just... It drives me mad, because what are you trying to prove by saying that? And also, when I had my fitness business, it was a seven-figure business. When you had it, what do you mean when you had it? Surely if it was a seven-figure business, fitness business, you would have people in place there. And what did you do? Just go, but I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm
earning, I'm earning £1 million a year from my fitness business. But do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fuck that off. And start doing something else and tell people how to build their seven figure. No business owner does that. Yeah. Now, for my own example, Ministry of Fitness is the business I've built up for 12 years. And now I'm more getting into the coaching as my main sort of activity. What I've put in place at Ministry, I haven't closed the gym. You know, I haven't said, I don't do that anymore. I've got managers in place and people in place to continue the business going. And generally what I do is manage the financials and the looking at the development for the future, that sort of thing. You know, I've got managers in place to do the day-to-day running, and they're very good and they do it a lot better than me. And, you know, I've got a lady now who does social media and does all the classes, everything else. Brilliant, you know, because that used to be a headache for me. But I didn't shut that business just so I could go off and do, coaching. That's retarded. No one would, no business owner would do that unless they sold the business, you know, so I could sell the gym. No, I don't want to do that anymore, so I'm going to sell it and use the capital to do another business.
Yeah.
Because that does sometimes happen. But no one goes, oh, I used to be a seven-figure coach, but now I coach people how to be a seven-figure coach. No. Yeah.
Normally what it is, they didn't have a seven-figure business. They had a month. They had a month that would equate to a seven-figure business. So what I did is I had a month where I earned, I don't know, whatever it is, 50K.
Mm.
Okay, cool. But that does that mean you've got a seven figure? No, it doesn't. It means fuck all. It just means you've had 1 month where you sold like all these upfront packages. Okay. But then it goes back to that point. Like, what happened to the business? Like, why would you just get rid of it? This blows my mind that it really fascinates me.
You wouldn't. And that's the thing is that, like you said, you wouldn't just get rid of a business, which is making profit, making money, you know, providing a decent income. You probably, if you have got a seven-figure fitness business, you've no doubtably got employees that work in there, because no one person can do all that work required, because that seven-figure business needs managers, needs admin, needs all those things to run it. You don't just do it by yourself from a laptop. You know, you need a team. So you don't just get rid of your team and then start and open another business. That just doesn't happen. Like I said, some people sell their businesses, but I've never heard of someone selling their seven-figure fitness coaching business to then go into being a guru coach.
No, it's never been the case. And then I don't know. I think we spoke about this before. You see some stuff and people band around figures quite a lot. Again, I don't know why this thing. I don't know in any other industry where people are so like, this means something. No one does it, unless I'm not aware of it. So
I'll tell you why they do it. And this, because the perception of people who get into fitness, as in fitness training, a lot of people who get into coaching, their perception is it's a low income business.
Yeah.
And in every industry, there's people who really smash it, obviously, and doing lots and lots of money every month. But if you look at the majority of online fitness coaches, it's not. No one's really above the VAT threshold. No one, not a lot of people above that VAT threshold. If you're looking at the whole industry, you know, there's a lot of people who are still within the sort of like the 4 to 5K, and that's where they're happy to stay. And then so that's where people come along and go, oh, you're only in 4 to 5K, mate, you're so 2020, you know, you should be 10K a month, you know, and I'll show you how to do it.
That's my other thing, isn't it? Like, my other thing that annoys me is like, what's wrong? Why do you have to be earning 10K a month? What's the fascination with it? And fuck me, like someone tried to justify that once. They were like, this is why I talk about 10K months, because of this reason. Why are you talking about it? And why are you trying to justify it as well? It doesn't fucking matter. What matters is, are you running a business that you enjoy being a part of, that can support your lifestyle and how you want to live, and fulfills you in those ways? But by putting this number on it that is plucked out of the sky, but you're trying to justify that because of the breakdown in terms of like how much you pay in tax and things you've got to do. That's bollocks, because everyone's different and everyone's got individual in terms of their outgoings or what they spend their money on and how they run their life. So you can't say that. It's utter shite. It really winds me up, that whole thing, because then coaches will come in, like you just said, and be earning a really, really decent wage for what they do, for a job that can give them freedom and can allow them to live like their life how they want. And someone comes in like that, and then when they don't earn that much, they're like, oh, fucking hell, I'm only making $4,000 a month. Oh my God, like a disaster. Like, I left the fire service getting paid. You know, the fire service is a decent job. It's a great job, but you don't go join the fire service for the money. But, you know, and I remember being in there, and like your standard monthly wage or whatever. And when I left, people going, are you going to be all right? I was like, yeah, I didn't leave because of the financial side of things. I left because I didn't have any time to do anything else. So I was trying to juggle it. But it depends on what you're used to and what your sense of normality is. And when someone walks that by saying, oh, you should be earning this amount of money, you're like, oh, actually, yeah. But you don't realize that what you're doing is actually okay. So yeah, that fucks me off as well. Get really angry in this one.
God, you're very sweary today, Dan. I've never seen you so sweary.
I think it's this topic really winds me up.
Mm.
It I have to be very careful because I could quite easily create content on this all the time, every day. And I think that then people would just get annoyed because I'd just be so annoyed all the time. But it does, it's so
angry Dan Smith.
it really like triggers, I can feel it riling up in me. Mm. People will be like, oh, because your money mindset. I'm like, no, I run a business. We run two businesses that I'm aware of how businesses work and how we create and have to build and how we invest in business. We support, we've got staff involved, right? I'm aware of that. Oh, but you shouldn't talk about that, about money. Like, just get off. Like, we know that the only way that you're promoting your business is because you're getting people bought into this, that you can help them earn these certain amount of figures. And let's be truthfully honest, like, only a small handful of those people would potentially do that anyway. And maybe they would have done it without your help as well. So, yeah, it's just that side of things that I think people need to consider.
Yeah. In the gym industry, there's a lot of this as well. Not to the same sort of extent, but there's a couple of agencies that do, we can guarantee you like 50 new members or whatever else, right? Now, what they don't say is the way they get those 50 new members is to offer them 2 to 3 year contracted memberships at a very low rate. So like ministry's rate is £45. They would say, oh, we're going to offer them £20 a month for 3 years and then bind them into a contract. So it's really easy. They just go off and say, yeah, we'll give you 50% off the membership. You have to sign a 3 year contract. What happens then? People sign up. They're not vetted. They're not the people we want at the gym. They're just people who want a cheap membership. Sign up. 3 months in, do you know what? I don't want to be at this gym anymore. And then they cancel. So you've only made 60 quid, but actually the marketing agency takes 50% of that or whatever it is. So you've only made 30 quid, which is not even a month's membership. And then you've got the hassle of cancelling. And there's a few marketing agencies that do that. They promise all this stuff and you've got to get on the phone and hard sell them. And I know this, not because I've recruited them, as in I've asked them to do anything with ministry, because we've resisted that for years. But I've worked with a couple of gym owners now who've had that issue. They brought this marketing agency in. It's cost them £3,000. What they've got from it was just hassle and cheap memberships. And then you've got all the other members going, well, hold on, why am I paying 45 and they're paying 20? So then you've got them kicking off. Why can you sell them a £20 membership? And that's how it works. So that, oh, we can guarantee these many leads. You know, the amount of like 20-year-old people on Facebook who are messaging me and saying, yeah, I can guarantee you 50 new Facebook leads. Really? No, you can't. Because if you can, they'll just be shit leads.
That's what I would say. Yeah. They probably can. They can guarantee you the numbers, can't they? They can't guarantee you the actual clients and customers, your customers.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a rant now. So the leads thing, that fucks me off when people talk about, I can get you this many leads. Leads don't mean anything unless they're qualified leads. Yeah. You know, I could go out into Kingswood Town Centre where the gym is and just stand there with a billboard saying, anybody want a gym membership for £20? And I would definitely get people coming towards who were qualified people who wanted to be at the gym, but also absolute time wasters who will join for 1 month. They're not our customer. They're not our ideal customer. They just join thinking they're going to do something. They don't. And then they blame the gym. And they cancel and leave a bad review on Google. You know, leads don't mean shit unless you're doing something to qualify those leads, which is why we don't do certain things like at the moment, like targeted Facebook ads, because we don't need to. Yeah. Because all our social media stuff, the people we target with our social media, people come in and go, I'd like to try the gym out. Mm. And they're all people who are referrals from our members. There are people who've seen our social media. They know what we're about. They come in, they're qualified leads.
Yeah, that's the difference, isn't it? You can easily just create an ad and just drive traffic, and then you're just, it's a numbers game, isn't it? And I'm working with, we work with quite a big coaching company in the States, and they have a team, sales team dedicated to generating leads. And the amount of refining in that process is, it's nonstop. So yes, you can generate numbers, but then it's like, okay, how do we refine that further? Refine it further. And it's constantly being iterated. It's not just a case of, right, just drive a load of people towards something. So that's to give someone a kind of idea of that. It's you can do it, but yeah, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything for your business. Like,
yeah. So here's another thing that, not a stupid thing, but things that the coaches do is they get told to cold DM people. And it's basically anybody that they can find who fits their niche. So if they have a niche, of course. So say, for example, you work with over 30 males. Yeah. So I got a Facebook. I'll add anyone over 30 in you know, who I can find. And then I'll just DM them saying, do you want? Hey, great to connect. Love your content. Have you ever thought about getting in shape, you fat fuck? Or words to that effect.
That would probably work quite well.
Yeah. Hey, I saw you eating donuts on your story. Do you want to lose some weight, fatty? I can get you there in 6 weeks.
It'd be different, wouldn't it? Be like the shock factor.
Yeah, I think quite quickly I'd probably be unfriended by the majority of my friends just if I did that. But there's the other thing. It's sort of like just cold DMing people. And do you know what? I actually had someone the other day fucking DM me and ask me, would you like to have a look at my fitness plan? It was like a fitness plan for over 40s. Would you like, you know, I coach people over 40. Would you like a free trial or something? I was like,
you're not going for it.
No, I was, I'm happy eating my donuts. But it's like zero research, because my picture on Facebook is not like bodybuilding, or I don't think it's actually me in like any sort of guns out or anything. I think it's just me on stage. So yeah, it was just like, that obviously they've done an entrepreneur or business owner search. And then I popped up, he's over 40. He fits my niche of over 40s business owners. Bang, straight in. I think it was on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Yeah, LinkedIn that's where a lot of the DM stuff happens, isn't it, LinkedIn?
Yeah.
But it's important, I think, to get across for coaches. Like, I'm not averse to outreach. I think there's a part of the business that's important, but done in a way that works, that's not like you just described, because it gets a bad press, because then suddenly everyone equates, like, that's what people mean when they talk about DMs or outreach, is like those experiences. But if it's done properly with the client in mind, and also connection, and how you're supposed to like nurture that person through conversation, then it's part of the business. However, I'd always think about like those experiences and how you react to that, and your way of thinking when someone does that to you. And if you are going to go and start doing that to other people, then you can probably expect similar responses.
Yeah. And I think it is just that, that throwing as much muck at the wall and seeing what sticks approach. There's better ways to manage your time, especially with lead generation and outreach. One of the things I work with clients, and I've done myself, is something called a handout. So I've got hand raised, which is when people, you know, you put into a comment or DM me for the link or something like that. That's a hand raise. And then you've got hand out, which is then people who aren't in your social area, or as in on Instagram or whatever. So you see a post, say you look on a post on someone's Facebook and it's like, I'm looking for the best way to lose weight or whatever, you know, and all these people, obviously keto, blah, 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 blah. And you can post on there saying, hi, I'm a nutritionist. This, you might find this helpful, this article, this link, and you just link the article.
Yeah.
And then if they are, and you can say, if you've got any questions, just, you know, shoot them below. And that's like, I call it like a good Samaritan. It's like, look, there's some information. You know, if you want anything else, just, you know, comment below. I'm not expecting anything back. It's just giving someone some useful advice.
Yeah.
But then what you don't then do is just like DM them and spam them all the stuff. You wait for them to make the comment back. And it's something that is, you know, it should be like, 5% of your time doing that sort of thing. But it's nice it's nice outreach. It's nice, you know, this is just, here's some free information you might like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That might help you.
If you, because you'll be in those places, hopefully, and you see stuff, and it'll feel natural, won't it? Feel natural to respond or to say, hey, I saw this, thought this might be useful. And it's not done with any other intention. And if you come across in any way, like thinking about them booking a call, signing up, whatever, it will come across. They will be able to feel it. So if you just think at it with the mindset of actually, that's what I was going to say, is this messaging sequence or this process has become transactional, hasn't it? It's become like, I'll do this, so I'm expecting you to sign up. I'm expecting you to book. We've gone so far away from it becoming just conversation and having a being able to help people out. It's like you expect it to something to happen. So it's almost like go the opposite way and think differently. Don't think of it as like a transaction.
It's sometimes it's do you see this happening, which I see sometimes, is that so there's a conversation and someone will tag. So there's a conversation about being a coach, for example, and someone will tag you, and other people will tag other people. And so you go on there, and what you've seen is like all the people who've been tagged have said, happy to have a talk, book a call. And they put their link in there. That's the chugger thing, isn't it? You know, you're walking through the street. It's like, hey, want to buy some fitness?
Yeah.
You know, why would you book a call with someone who you've never met, who's literally just been like referred to you, whatever? And let's follow that down. If you just put your book a call link up, who's going to sign up for those things? I would say 90% of the people who actually do then use that link and book a call are going to be people who, when you actually do the call and get to the price at the end, they're like, oh, I thought it'd be cheaper than that.
Yeah.
Because they're not in your ecosystem. They're not in your, they haven't seen any of your content.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what you're like, but I don't give out my book a call link until I've talked to them on a couple of times on Messenger, like a few messages back and forth or something like that. And I've sent them some stuff to say, here's what I do.
Yeah.
I don't send the book because that's my time, like half an hour, you know, talking to some twat who's never going to buy. No, you know.
Yeah.
That's your fault if you've given your link out and that happens.
Yeah, I agree. It's sometimes I don't even use the link. I just be like, are you free tomorrow? Once you jump on a call, it's just the way it flows. Then it is a lot more genuine, natural. Mm. That's how it should be when it's done right. It should feel genuine and like value and connection is like a big part of that. And it's almost like we can't. You know, again, you tell your clients delay gratification before you get to this point that you're trying to achieve. But in this, you can't delay that gratification because it might take another 6 months for that person to actually have enough touch points for them to go, I'm going to make a decision now. Like some people will book a call off that first conversation, but 5-10%? And then the rest, like 90-odd percent, are going to come from the multiple touch points, the content, the messages, and things that you put out there. So it's an important thing to get across, really, for coaches looking at outreach and messaging. Try and delay that gratification, like you tell your clients.
That's a nice word, delayed gratification.
Right.
I do, yeah. I've not applied that to my own language, but now I will. It seems quite nice.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I used to. Well, I created content on it in the past for the coaching side of things because we used to talk about it. And then it transfers so well into this because people are wanting this stuff like instant and it's all very much DMs, like automation straight away, bang, bang, bang. It's like some stuff just takes a bit of time and be okay with that.
Yeah. And also what you're saying about the that natural conversation. So if you're having a messenger chat with someone off the back of one of these conversations, and you say, oh, yeah, are you free tomorrow at 11 o'clock? And they go, yeah. Okay, well, you don't need to book a call then, do you? You just, but you would book it into your calendar. You might ask them for their email address so you could send them the link.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't then send them but I'll have to send you the book a call link because that's what my guru says I have to do. No, if they're available at 11 o'clock tomorrow and you are, then book the call and then phone them, you know?
Just book it in.
What I've had before is that I've said to someone, oh, are you free at 11? Oh, no, I can't do that one. Can you do 12? No, I can't do that one. And then I go, I'll tell you what, here's my link. Just book a time that suits you. When you've had that back and forth, otherwise you then got 50 back and forth messages going, are you free at 2? No. Are you free at 1? No. You know, and it's like, so if it's been going back and forth a few times, you can't find a time, that's normally when I send the book a call link. But, you know, normally I don't need to. Normally it's just, you free at 11? Yeah. Not that 11 is my magic time, but Just that's the time.
And that's why most people think that their messages aren't, you know, are rubbish, because they've probably been given at some point some guru script, sales script, and they've gone, right, so they've said that, now I need to do this. And then what you're doing is you're not using it, even if it is decent, I use it as a framework, but then still have what is a genuine conversation. They'd be like, right, so now what do I do? What this text? And if it doesn't make sense, don't freaking send it. Just like look at how the conversation's flowing. Because you're trying to fit into a system that you can't systemize that.
Do that script thing, that's another thing that potentially people should be mindful of as well. Because I think you've said about it before, you have a script or like a sort of a structure that you follow on a call. I have the same sort of thing. There's sort of 9 things I generally go through on a call. Now, one of those things is like, I ask them like, what needs fixing? What's the big thing that needs fixing? Now, that's normally it's all about 4 things in after you've had a few more things. But if they said right at the beginning, this is what needs fixing, when they get to that point, don't go, oh shit, they've already said that. Shall I ask it? I'll ask it anyway. You know, like, you need to be flexible with what you're doing, and not just, if you've got the script out, be aware that it's a guide. This is the information you need to get. If you've already got it, don't ask it again, because it will just feel like you're on a script.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's the biggest thing in scripts, isn't it? Ours isn't a script as such. It's just the flow, to give you structure. Exactly. Yeah. Agree. I'm trying to think of some other things that
you did a Facebook post on this, or an Instagram post asking about it. Also, tailored diet plans. when coaches say you've got a tailored diet plan, but it's not a tailored diet plan. It's a cookie cutter thing. You know, be honest about what you're giving people. Don't say it's a tailored diet plan when it's basically just an eating guide. You know, because honestly, people, you know, as long as they are eating properly, they won't care if it's tailored or not. You know, and what does tailored mean anyway? It's a tailored diet plan. Mm. You know, it's, I think I have used that phrase in the past, but you know, it's like tailored diet plan. Okay, so you're going to go in, we're going to measure you up and get your feet, and just gonna measure your legs and what's your waist, all a bit of fat there, okay, no carbs, you know, so that's your tailored diet plan. But it's not, is it? It's like everything you're going to give someone is going to be an eating guide. It's going to be here's how to eat properly. So if you're not giving them a bespoke, you know, that you've written out, and most coaches don't do this, they don't write out actual templated diet plans anymore, in terms of like, you know, you must eat this at this time, this at this time, this at this time. A lot of it is just eating guides now, from my understanding of what most people do. If it is a written out plan, it's normally everyone gets the same plan, and so don't do that either. But you know, if you're giving people just things like macro guides and, you know, eating recommendations, then say that. Just say it's a eating guide to eat healthier or eat smarter. Well, that's what I use, eat smarter.
Yeah.
Don't say it's tailored, because honestly, those sorts of descriptions, most people don't even know what it means.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything in their eyes, but in the coach's eyes, it's like, if I say this, it's individualized, it's bespoke. But that's
bespoke as well. Bespoke diet plan. Wow.
You're right. Like, the honesty side of things, I'd rather someone just come out and said, you know what, it's just a guide, give you some options for things that you could fit into your, like, the calories that we've got here, which is pretty much what we have. It's just that here's what you could put into this amount of food. Cool.
Yeah. And again, most of your clients don't care about that. But I think the thing that, that it's coaches that care about that sort of description, to try and maybe give them a USP. Like, oh, this is unique because no other coach does this. Honestly, every other coach is saying that.
By doing that, you're not, very nature, you're not unique anymore. So it's almost thinking of something else. We have this quite a lot, like the uniqueness thing comes up because people are like, oh, I don't know what I do different. I don't know what's unique. And it always is something, like in terms of your approach, and it could be your attention to detail, or it could be the speed at which you do something. And it could be you work with them on a specific method, or you have a preference for working with a specific way. Like I've had coaches who have like had a preference for rapid fat loss with most of their clients initially, and they're like, they don't know about that as their, that's unique. And I'm like, well, that's more unique than you saying you give them a tailored diet plan. Like, talk about it. say that's what you do. Yeah,
and don't be, you know, and the rapid fat loss thing, you know, if that's what you do, if that's what you provide for people, don't be afraid of saying that just because some other guru fitness person has said, oh no, you shouldn't be doing rapid fat loss diet plans. But what if someone wants, they're overweight and they want a really good kick for 6 to 8 weeks to lose fat? What if they want that?
Yeah.
Should you not supply it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course you should. And, you know, of course, proper coaching would mean that at the end of the 6 weeks, don't just bin them off, make sure they've got things they can take forward. And part of that coaching, because you can do rapid fat loss without cookie cutter diet plans and massively restrictive calories and, like, you know, 4 a.m. cardio. You can do rapid fat loss without that, as long as you manage your calorie deficit and you've got food you like, that sort of thing. So,
yeah.
You know, don't be afraid of saying that's what you do, because every other, you know, fitness sort of woke person is saying, yeah, we're doing intuitive eating to make you mindful and happy about your soul while you know, eat your rice and your chicken and your avocado.
Thank you. Never in my life have I had food and thought about my soul, but I will now from now on.
Think of how it cleanses. Cleanses your soul by eating boiled chicken.
It cleanses me of all joy in my life. Yeah.
But I heard that description about mindful eating before, about how mindful eating, there's a level to it where as you're eating your food, you think about all the things that have gone into preparing the food. I think it comes from maybe Buddhism or something like that, where, so say if you're eating a pizza, you're not just eating a pizza, you're thinking about how the dough was prepared and how the spinach was grown, you know, how the mozzarella was, you know, all these things. And I was like, well, that sounds like a good concept to me. But me, if I'm eating a pizza, I'm just ramming it in as fast as I possibly can, drinking a liter of Coke, well, it's Coke Zero with it, and watching a film.
Yeah.
I don't have time to really think about that.
There will be zero. By the time I've started to think about how someone's like needed the dough, it's gone.
where's that gone? Oh. it just disappeared.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so you don't have to follow what everyone else is doing. And I think that's another thing that the coaches at the moment are doing a lot of, is like, oh, well, this person is doing this and talking about this, so now I must do this and talk about this. Like everyone taking a fucking ice bath. Why are people, all people doing that at the moment?
I've got nothing against people taking ice baths. I just find it's fascinating behavior, isn't it? It's like this thing that if you do something really difficult, and if you want to do that, do it. But you almost, it's, why are you doing it? But then also, why are you then feeling the need to? Because if someone does it, they're going to definitely show you, or they'll tell you about it. Yeah. That's what I find fascinating.
Definitely.
I don't mind if you do it. Like, yeah. I have hot showers every morning, but I don't tell everyone about it. So maybe I'll start doing that now, I think. But
I might do that as well. Hot bath.
I think I've got that wrong though, because it's supposed to be like doing something really uncomfortable. But, and if you don't do that, you're somehow not as, you're like, I'm a failure compared to the person who's taken that cold shower or bath. And I think, no, I'm just more sensible.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what? I saw quite a top level professional bodybuilder who may or may not have been Mr. Olympia, and they were talking about ice baths, and in the list of things that it said it did was fat burning and boost testosterone, two things which ice baths have not been proven to do. In actual fact, ice baths reduce can reduce your testosterone and reduce your gains, potentially. You know,
I just feel like it's something that people are, what's that saying, where they like major in the minors or something? Where they're like, oh, but I've had my ice bath, my life is perfect, but I'm getting 3 hours sleep, running on caffeine, stressed out my eyeballs. But the ice bath sorts me out.
De-stress you apparently as well. I can't think anything more stressful than getting into a cold bath.
Nah. Right. No.
Yeah. So avoiding fads. That's another thing that like you said, you know, if you like being woke and talking about how mindful you're eating your food and how enjoyable your ice bath is, well, that's fine, you know, but it shouldn't be that you're doing it because everyone else is doing it and you feel that, you know, you have to be the best person in the room because you do ice baths and because you do, you know, keto and you do this and you do that. I mean, is that identifying with your followers? I'm pretty sure that if I got into an ice bath, every single one of the people I work with would be like, you're stupid, you're crazy.
Yeah, I do find that. It's at what point do you go past that? I'm doing this for the reasons that I think is beneficial, or I'm doing this now because I want to be able to tell people about it for their perception of what I am like. So what are you doing it for? Are you doing it for the reasons that you see value in, or so you can tell people so that you potentially look slightly different? I don't know, maybe. I guess that's social media all over, isn't it? It's just people do it in different ways. Like people like to flash things in different ways. I suppose that's one way of doing it.
Yeah, like living not living a false life, but living a life that they don't enjoy on social media because that's what they think they should be doing, when really you should be doing whatever you like doing and posting about whatever you like doing and things you like posting about.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it in a way that is, I suppose there's like the humble brag, which fucks me off. Right.
Another thing.
That's what an ice bath might be. It's like, oh, look, I can jump in cold water and sit here for 3 minutes. And it is like a humble brag, the same as like, oh, I can, I've got this. Like, the classic one for me is like people, if you're, you know, in there in their car, but then.
I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not letting you do that.
Well, no, I'm not filming. Like, oh, I'm filming, I'm going here, but then there'll be, you'll see like the headrest, or they'll catch the whatever the car make is, and you just think everyone knows what you're doing. Or it's like, I just got a coffee, and they take a picture of the coffee cup, but it's not even focused on the coffee, it's just the watch.
Like, yeah, on the Rolex or whatever, fake Rolex.
Oh, it's like that.
Yeah, it's the now I've got to be careful this because I drive Mercedes, but it's the Mercedes steering wheel, isn't it? Or the Bentley or whatever. Mercedes steering wheel with the watch and the coffee that all stacked together.
Yeah, that's a stack, sort of, in it.
Holy trilogy, trinity of online fitness coaching. Or you're sat in a in a coffee shop with your coffee, with your watch in view, and with your MacBook Pro, you know, in a poseful situation, a pondering situation.
Do you know what you need to add to that, just to make it becomes the holy quartet? Then, if you add a stoic quote on top, and then you're there.
Right? Yes, yes, yeah. So, yeah, something about, you know, turning the other cheek or something like that. Yeah. While I was sat here drinking my massively costly coffee, I was thinking about how I'm actually a poor man. Because of my coffee, he's just taking all the money out of my pocket.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
Yes, stoic. I haven't seen a lot of stoic quotes anymore. As in, like, people who are, you know, like, I mean, I don't know if you see them. I mean, I've unfollowed quite a few people recently, but I used to see all that stuff all the time, you know, and it'd be like, or it'd either be a guy with his biceps out, with some sort of thing about working and being thankful, or be a bird with a bum out or doing a squat or something onto the camera with another quote. And it's like,
no,
not really a situation for that.
I haven't seen that, but I'm seeing a resurgence of you know, like the classic, I'm in a sports car, the watch and that, and then the working laptop lifestyle. I'm seeing a remember then that kind of cycle comes around in the coaching space.
Yeah,
the Tai Lopez kind of style things, that side of things coming back into it. I must be going through that phase again.
So tell you what I've seen is coming back is a lot of sweary people. And I'm not against swearing. I mean, my podcast with Paul is just C-bomb heavy. You know, it's just, you know, C-bombs pretty much all the way through. But and obviously this one we swear sometimes. I'm not averse to swearing. I do swear in real life. You know, but I don't swear on my content, not much. But you know, I don't. You know, if someone wants to swear on the content, fine. But like,
yeah,
you know, like when someone says, "Just fucking lift it," did you need to put the swear word in there? You know, yeah. And it's like, create a fucking calorie deficit. Did you have to put the swear word in there? Was that necessary? You know, if that's the way you talk in real life, but then when I'm going to meet you in person, I'm expecting you to be dropping F-bombs left, right and center because that's what you're portraying on social media.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I see that quite a bit, especially with the way that social media now rewards content. For when so certain people creating content, when they have this kind of sweary edge, if you want to call it that, for some reason that's generating a lot of traction with followings, and you can build quite a large following if you are. Look, all the other principles go into it. Don't get me wrong, like consistency. But I'm noticing that definitely a trend. But then I'm wondering, does that trend then transfer into a successful business? I mean, I don't know if that's quite there yet, but maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I am. But I do see that there's a lot more of that. Like in order to be, to stand out or to have this kind of edge, people start to like swear a little bit more. And like you just said, I'm all for swearing. I just use it very particular for things that really piss me off.
Yeah. And I think it's, I don't really mind people who swear. I've got no issue against that. You know, as long as it's not around my kids, you know, that sort of thing. But which you'll get in a few months' time, you know. But I've got no issue with people swearing. But is it necessary for content? If you're just swearing every other word, well, then is that really getting your message across?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just, you know, I don't want to be judgmental about people who swear because some people swear more than others. But personally, when I'm talking to someone, if every other word is a swear word, unless it's like we're in a pub having a laugh and you know that sort of thing, if it's if I went to a seminar and the guy was just F-bombing all the way through, I'd be like, I'm not sure this person's right for me. Or does he actually have anything to say apart from swearing?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? So I don't know how that transfers over because I'm seeing a lot of people build, you know, these followings. But then there's a difference between building a following and actually building a business. So just think it's slightly different. But yeah, hopefully I'm wrong.
Yeah. So go on.
I'd say hopefully I'm wrong in terms of like, I just hope people are not just thinking about building, like I say, a following on rented platforms and actually building an asset at the same time. So are you taking those people and moving them into something like an email list?
The interesting, because if you put so many swear words in an email, the spam filter picks it up. Well, I think it does on ActiveCampaign anyway.
No.
So if you're using too many like written swear words in an email, I'm pretty sure that the filter picks it up.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting, those people who are swearing all the time on social media, when you subscribe to their emails, like, thanks for fucking subscribing to my motherfucking email. Here's some fucking free stuff for you to fucking digest, bitch.
Oh, man.
Do you think that happens?
Speaking of emails, we sent an email out last week and we had about 23 people unsubscribed from it because it talks about decapitating a dog. No one was hurting it. No dog was dead. It was just, there was a image that was posted on Reddit, his dog. It was the way it was positioned. it looked like it just had its head on this pavement, but it wasn't. You couldn't see the body.
Yeah.
So we created an email around that and how your perception of something is different depending on where you look at it from. And it was actually a really well thought out email. But people just only read what they want to read, and then they're like, no, death to the dog. I'm like, but we said that nothing, the dog's fine. Like, but so then another email's gone out today to then kind of say, you know, this is a good thing. And I'm pleased because we get a lot of people onto our email list who don't know me, don't know anything about us really. And it's part of that process of weeding out the people.
Yeah, I saw the title when you posted on your socials. I thought, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And actually looking through it before, and I was like, yeah, I can see how people would get a bit annoyed about, not annoyed, I think they get a bit more upset. But it actually very quickly says, you know, the dog's fine. This is, you know, the picture is not what you think it is.
Mm.
So yeah, that just reminded me of talking about emails.
Yeah, I sent an email once that said you're going to be friend zoned unless you reply, and it was about people. Like, I wanted people to unsubscribe from my email list if they weren't getting value from the emails, and they just an email cleanup. So I sent this email out saying, "Oh yeah, it's you're going to be friend zoned," and a load of people replied. Not there's about some people didn't unsubscribe, which is what I wanted them to do, and then a few people sent back replies saying, how ridiculous! How can you use that phrase? It's completely like sexist or whatever. And I was like, well, you're definitely going to unsubscribe then, aren't you? you're definitely not the person to talk to me.
Yeah. Oh dear.
Cool. Nice. We had a good 40 minutes of ranting now, I think.
Yeah, good.
Good. okay, we're back to like actual. May sort of relevant coaching content next week. But actually the stuff that we talked about today was relevant. It was more just tongue in cheek, I think.
Yeah, definitely has a place without a doubt.
Absolutely. Cool. Dan, do you want to do where people can get you? If they want to talk about decapitated dogs and stuff.
Dan Strong Collective. Anywhere. Yeah, pretty much anywhere now.
Cool.
Yeah.
And buildcoaching.co.uk is actually up and running now. So my website, buildcoaching.co.uk, but still Tom Blackman_nutrition on Instagram and Tom Blackman on YouTube. So Dan, see you next week for some more interesting chats.
Yep.
And I'll see you later on.